This segment brought to you by Tullamore Golf Resort. Experience a Michigan masterpiece. Tyler Aki, Mike Gilligan, this is the CDGA Golf Show. We are with you every single Saturday throughout the golf season right here on ESPN 1000. Let's head on out to the Jersey Mike's hotline. Jersey Mike's a sub above. That's where we find James Standhart, the director of instruction over at Golf Tech, and was named by Golf Digest a top 20 instructor in the state of Illinois. Good morning, James. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Hey, morning, guys. How are you?
Good to have you on board here, James.
Happy to be here. Thanks.
So it is we're in like a weird stage, I feel like, of the golf season right now, because it felt like it started maybe a couple weeks ago when we had a couple of pop-up 60, 70 degree days, a lot of people getting out and hitting the courses, and now everything kind of feels like it's reined back in with some of these temperatures in the 30s. So what would you advise golfers for how to approach this portion of the golf season where maybe you already have a round or two under your belt, but largely, you're not going to get into the thick of the golfing season for maybe another couple of weeks.
Sure, yeah. Now, this is kind of a unique season for us from a teaching standpoint, because we're normally trying to project for our students when the season's going to start, what does that protocol look like to get outside. And this year, we really haven't had a month, including December and January, where our students haven't been able to get outside to play at least a couple times. So kind of takes its toll on long-term approach, and so we have to go into sort of a hybrid process where we start talking about how to take changes to the course, how to not regress while we're on the course as well, and kind of that start-stop mentality. One of the big benefits of living in the Chicagoland area is we do get the off-season for 4 or 5 months to focus on improving our game without any negative recourse. So it has been really odd that way. As we lead into end of March, into April now, and we're kind of back inside for a little while, the big message for us, for our students, is when you went outside last month and you regress a little bit, we come back in, we see what areas of the swing, what areas of the game have stuck the most. We can kind of put those on the back burner. Let's focus on the things that are regressing back to sort of, you know, pre-off-season mode, and we can drill on those for the next 3 or 4 weeks to get you ready for the season.
Yeah, that is absolutely amazing stuff there, James. And as I walk into your place every time, I mean, I am absolutely blown away by the passion of you, as well as all of the instructors there as it relates to your teaching. And I'm also amazed at how you're able to impart the technology piece into both your own visual eye and what we're doing and how you're teaching us. But can you explain the approach that you personally take to teaching, and that really, I think Golf Tech across the whole country has the same process, because you mentioned the word process.
Correct, yeah. So we want to take as much of kind of our individual opinions out of it and just go to the science, right? So every single lesson starts with an observation. So, and this is from a dialogue standpoint, too. You know, Mike, when you come in, Ryan's asking you, what have you seen lately? What are you seeing in practice? What does the ball flight look like? Contact, dispersion, distance, et cetera. And let's work back from there. So we can typically find a root cause for any of those issues with the tech that we're using. So across the country in our centers, and I'll speak for ours in Naperville, we're breaking down the swing from a biomechanical standpoint first. So what motions in the swing lead to certain results, either for contact or direction? And can we work back and improve those things systematically to get you better?
James Standhart, the director of instruction over at Golf Tech, with us here on the CDGA Golf Show. So, James, we've been talking a little bit today about the one thing people really want to improve in their games heading into this golfing season. What has been the most popular thing you feel like you've worked with people who have come into Golf Tech lately?
Well, so this has gone through the course of many years. The most common response we get as we go into the off season, or we start with a new student, you know, what's the goal? What do you hope to get out of lessons in terms of improvement? The number one answer is always consistency. You know, I want to know what to expect when I make a swing. I want to get the ball airborne in my general direction. That's the baseline for most players. So obviously, as we get down into lower indexes, we start to split those layers a little thinner, and we're getting into dispersion patterns and distance control patterns, curvature patterns, stuff like that. But for most players, we want to hit the ball airborne and straight and not be embarrassed. And so working to that first benchmark is sort of the goal for most new students in our center, and then hopefully building new goals after that.
So, James, the CDGA in March is offering a very special offer to members about a $75 swing evaluation or a club fitting. Let me ask you a question. With people that are thinking about new equipment at this time of the year, how important is it truly to get fit by a professional and why?
Oh, incredibly. Yeah, I mean, and most people have had this experience now more than historically. You know, when you go into, and I don't want to degrade anybody here, but you go into a big box store or you go somewhere that sells a lot of off-the-rack clubs, that fitting process, by definition, can't be very involved. And so it's not going to be nearly as precise. And so what we do in our center, we take a pretty holistic approach from a lessons and club fitting standpoint. We want the two to mesh together, right? So, Mike, when you come in, we start asking those first questions. What are the goals? What do you experience right now? What clubs are you playing right now? Were they fit for you? How well were they fit for you? Let's check those out first. If we can get the clubs to fit you really well, so for every spec you can imagine, then there's no impedances when it comes to making a golf swing change. And often, in a lot of players' cases, if the clubs are really misfit for them, they're trying to make adaptations they're not even aware of in the swing that they never can get over, right? So that first process of going through a pretty involved fit is incredibly critical.
James Standhart with us here on the CDGA Golf Show. He's the Director of Instruction over at Golf Tech out in Naperville. So, James, looking ahead to this upcoming golf season as well, when do you feel like most of the people that you work with really start to get into form and have, like, how long is the process from you start working on a swing technique to it being a consistent part of their game?
Yeah, it's a great question. Actually, so this time of year, coming up into, you know, typically late April, early May, as a coach in our center is our favorite time of year. So the normal progression after the off season for our players is we've made significant change and we've been inside most of the winter. So we're seeing the ball flight on a simulator on a launch monitor. We're looking at data. We're tearing that data apart. And the hope is when we go out to start playing, you know, the student is very ready with their new swing, the new game, to go out there. Now, realistically, when we get outside for the first couple rounds, and we try to tell people this up front too, there's going to be some sort of crawl before you walk moments where you have these high expectations. The swing has changed for the better, but you don't know how to apply it outside yet. So typically, a handful of rounds, 2, 3, 4 rounds to get through that first phase is critical. And then oftentimes, too, depending on the student, we'll get outside with them, you know, mid-April, late April for a playing lesson, an on-course session, to make sure we're going through those, you know, things to expect. How do we adapt the new swing to the golf course now? And typically, late April, early May, we're getting the first wave of career lows. You know, my goals have been met, that sort of thing coming in. So, you know, in our center, it's incredibly fun, really the entire month of May, seeing the door open, smiling faces. Hey, we did it, coach. What's the next goal now? Let's set that. And so now we're trying to maximize execution all the way throughout the summer and fall before we go to new goals, you know, next offseason.
And I can't emphasize enough what you just, you know, spoke about the joy about coming in and hitting that next level or what's next. And that seems to be the culture when you come into at least your facility anyway. But I know from personal experience, when I thought about making this change and really investing in this, you know, I found that I first off had to make a choice and then I had to commit to it because it wasn't easy. There was a lot of changes that I had to make. And I think, honestly, I think James had to put a padding on certain parts of the wall that they didn't even know they had to pad because I was hitting so many hosel rockets for a while to get the thing right. But when you make that commitment, that's when the change then can start to happen. And so I think one of the first things, would you not agree, is you have to be honest with yourself, not only about your own game, but within your own expectations as you impart on this new journey. Would you not agree?
100%. And Mike, if you ever want a new career as a golf coach, you let me know, because your thought process on this is spot on. I talk to my coaches about this all the time, right? When we have a new student come in, there needs to be this very frank conversation about what they're getting into. And so oftentimes when we see somebody schedule an evaluation online, you know, we'll give them a call first and we'll ask them what the goal is for that session. And if the response is kind of lukewarm and, you know, I want to see my swing and I don't have a whole lot of time with the family and the kids and the job to be able to start this process, but I still want to dip my toe in, we say, you know what, may not be right for you right now, with us or anybody else. You know, swing changes are incredibly arduous. They're difficult. They're incredibly rewarding once you've made them, right? And you have them for life, and that's our approach. You know, we're not for the quick fix. We want to make sure that somebody is robust with their golf game for the rest of their life. But yeah, that first conversation can be pretty lengthy to make somebody see the light first and really buy into that whole process.
James, what would you say to someone who is maybe very new to the game and doesn't really, like, they're going into a lesson, they want a lesson, they want to start to get into the game, but they really don't know, they don't know what they don't know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, super common, right? So our philosophy is let's start from the green and work our way back, right? So with a new player, taking out a long club, a driver, a mid-iron can be really daunting. It can be embarrassing for a lot of players, too. They can't get the ball airborne sometimes, and you know, we're constantly reassuring them. But at the same time, if you're starting golf that way, it can be really tough. So in the same way that you wouldn't start playing basketball from the three-point line, right? You set up by the basket and make layups first. We try to work our way from putting back. You know, the most novice player can hit a two-foot putt and knock it in most of the time, and then we work our way back from there. And there are a lot of overlapping mechanical similarities between chipping and pitching and the full swing. And so if we can dial in somebody from, you know, on the green, just off the green, build up that success, a lot of high fives, a lot of optimism, enthusiasm from the player, now we know they're going to be more spurred on to want to practice more often and work their way back. And so we blend that short game into the full swing, and before you know, they've got a functional golf game.
James, I get often asked a question that they can't believe that I take lessons indoors. And what I look at the advantage of being indoors, obviously you have the video, the launch monitor, the technology. You never get rained out. It's always 70 mm-hmm. degrees. You've got great availability. But the one hidden gem that I think you guys offer, which helps us as students to go out to the range with, is your mobile app. Because yeah. we have the answers, we have our lessons recorded, and we also have, like a doctor, they give us things to drill on till we see them next. And you have that thing with you at the range. I think that is the most undervalued item that you guys offer. Can you tell us a little bit more about your app?
Yeah, no, you're totally right about that. And the app has been being built out for, gosh, probably just over a decade now. And when it first came on the App Store, we put it out there, our mission corporately was we want to create the best golf app in the world, if not one of the best apps in the world. And when we first rolled it out, there were a lot of bugs early on. We put it out there and got our customers' feedback and kept making it better. So the last couple years, the progressions have been incredible. You can, obviously, after you take a lesson, you can go on your app and see the pertinent areas of your lesson. We try to condense them down to a few videos for you. The audio attached, drills attached, notes attached. So you have really an entire encyclopedia of your last lesson right there with you. You throw some earbuds in. You can listen to your coach while you're on the range, while you're hitting balls, which is incredibly effective. A lot of new features in there, too, now. So you can actually record your swing with our app. There's a lot of technology involved there, too, including our OptiMotion technology, which means you can actually see how every joint in your body is moving with the new app. This is new as of a couple months ago. I'm not aware of any other app in the industry that can do this yet. You're seeing it sort of displayed on CBS Sports lately, too. There's a lot of the OptiMotion displayed on there with a lot of times Trevor Immelman will be talking about that. And then you can actually click a button and send those range swings to your coach. So the next time you have a lesson inside, we can pull that up on our indoor software and say, you know, hey, Mike, here was your third swing in the range that you sent me last week. Let's compare it to the swing you make in here. Are there any differences? How do we want to approach the indoor session today to better reflect what you're doing outdoor?
That's amazing.
That's absolute quality practice if I've ever heard it.
And that's yeah. that's what happens when you've got a decade, you said, you've been developing the app?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the app came out, you know, relatively early as far as golf apps go. And again, there was a lot we didn't know back then, but I'll tell you, in the last 3 or 4 years, this thing has really taken off. We have some really smart folks with us out in Denver that are creating this thing and listen to a lot of student feedback, a lot of coach feedback about what we want, and it just keeps getting better. And I would put it up against, you know, any golf training app on the market right now. And as a golf tech student, you know, you have access to all the data on there. You have access to all the tracking as well. There's so many things I could go into that the app has that you just have to experience for yourself.
That's fantastic. James, thanks so much for taking some time with us on this Saturday morning, and we will hopefully talk to you soon.
You got it, guys. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
James, thanks so much, and we'll see you tomorrow.
You got it, Mike. I'll see you tomorrow, buddy. Take care.
James Standhart, the director of instruction over at Golf Tech. He was named a top 20 teacher in Illinois by Golf Digest. And don't forget, in the month of March, CDGA members get a reduced price of a $75 swing evaluation or club fitting, and you can also save 25% on lesson plans in the month of March. No easier way to get your improvement and your lessons started before you head into the season.
Yeah, they are so good. And no matter which Golf Tech is most conveniently located near you, I highly, highly recommend them. And then obviously when you're outdoors and you've got your club pro and, you know, you can see them as well.
Yep, no doubt about it. All right, when we come back, we'll take a few more of your calls. And also, we haven't talked about the Players Championship. That was an epic finish down in Florida last week, so we will get to all of that when we come back. By the way, this segment brought to you by Tullamore Golf Resort, up North Michigan Golf without the drive.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app.
Segment brought to you by Fox Bend Golf Course. This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000. We have not gotten into the Players Championship down at TPC Sawgrass, and boy, it was a finish like we have not seen on the golf course this season so far. Scottie Scheffler, we've talked about it ad nauseum too. When he's locked in, there is nobody on the planet that can not just beat him, but come close to what he can do.
No, not at all. I mean, it's crazy how good he is. And, you know, like you said, we talked about it. We discussed it. If he putts well, it's game over. And, you know, where I think, you know, obviously he shoots 64 on Sunday. And it's unbelievable he shoots 64 and just crushes the rest of the field. And to say that, you know, he won this event is an understatement. Now, maybe, you know, you've got a guy like Xander who's kicking himself about how he let it slip through his fingers, especially on the putt at 17.
Wyndham Clark, too.
And Wyndham Clark as well.
Oh, man. I mean, that is one of the more cruel lip outs I've ever seen.
That, if there is a definition of a power lip, Webster will have a picture of what just happened to that poor young guy right there. He went into the pre-celebrate. I mean, he was about to fist pump and they said, I don't think so.
Right. Reminded me a little bit of Will Zalatoris at the U.S. Open against Matt Fitzpatrick. Was this 2 years ago? It must have been 2 years ago now. He had a lip out like that when he was trying, I believe he was trying to force a playoff. But yeah, it was like the same thing. I mean, that thing was halfway down. Halfway down.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They show it in slow motion, and literally half of the ball has disappeared.
Did you see the video of Scotty watching it for the first time?
I did not.
Because he hadn't seen, he wasn't on.
Yeah, 18, he was at the range.
He was at the range getting ready.
He heard it.
And he heard it. But then one of his post-round interviews, or like, I guess when he was like right before he was getting the trophy, it was like Last Dance style where they had him watch it on an iPad.
Oh, God.
And he sees it and he's just like, oh my God. Like he couldn't believe it. He was kind of like, that's one way to lose a golf tournament.
Yeah. I mean, that is what a way to go. But I mean, he was just that close of being in a playoff. That
right.
Is really
exactly
what it amounts to. Mm-hmm. But because that's, you know, he was over on the range just hitting.
Yeah. Let's be honest, who wants to go to a playoff with Scottie Scheffler after he's fresh off of a 64?
Off of a 64. And get this, what he was doing over at the range is he was practicing the shot for 17 because that's where they would have gone. And he's just grooving that thing. And so not only that, it's like he's sharpening sharpening that Ginsu knife just to stab it in you when if you decide to go into a playoff, because I'm going to have this thing ready and it is going to be pin seeking at that. Mm-hmm. But he, the guy is simply unreal. You know, and where I think he won the tournament was actually on Saturday afternoon when he birdied 16, 17, and 18 to finish. And what that did is it gave him confidence, it gave him hope, and it also told him that he could get this thing done on Sunday. And he went out, quick start, and the rest is kind of history. And, you know, did you ever watch the movie Fast and Furious?
Yeah.
So, you know, the NOS, you know, and how that just when they flip that switch, the cars just pull away.
Yeah.
Scotty's NOS is his putting. If he's putting well, just bye-bye.
Yeah.
Like, you can't even keep up with this.
Right.
And nobody out there simply can.
Well, that was one of the things. I was kind of checking the odds a little bit on Sunday, and I was like, Scotty Scheffler. It was right as, I believe it was right as he was making the turn. So he birdies 9, and he's at plus 550. I believe he was 2 strokes back of Xander at the time. And I was like, that seems like really good odds for a guy who totally could win this thing. And is playing, I mean, he was on that front 9, he was 5 under. And I was like, he's locked in right now.
Oh,
he's playing a different sport than the rest of these guys right now. I'm going to roll with Scotty, and it ended up paying off. I know Pat Boyle did the same thing. He saw him at like 8-1 and was like, you know, he looks pretty locked in right now. I'm going to go lay a little bit of money on Scotty Scheffler to win this thing. And lo and behold, he does. And not only does he do it, he does it in just... It's tough to say for a one-stroke victory runaway fashion, but it felt like runaway fashion the way that he just stormed back that entire Sunday.
Oh, yeah, and I think everyone...
And including the final 3 holes on Saturday as well, like you
mentioned. Right. I mean, it's unbelievable the momentum he got going, and you could almost feel the rest of the field just saying, I hope he slows down because he's now starting a pace, and the token experts thought if Scotty can get this thing to 18 under, and this is like on Friday, it's over.
Yeah.
No. You needed to get to 20 under on that golf course, which let me also add, is not that easy.
Right.
I mean, that's the other part of this. They're making a formidable, formidable golf challenge look like it's Mickey Mouse. I mean, that's the other part of this. But, you know, when you look at Scotty's game, there are just simply no yeah buts. There just isn't. The man is number one in the world. And he is practically number one in every single category out there that matters.
Right.
It's just uncanny how much better he is than the rest of the world. The only thing is he just doesn't carry that charismatic, swashbuckling personality and becoming what I call a character.
You know, it reminds me a lot of almost like Mike Trout in baseball.
Exactly.
How he was the best player in the sport, but no one really knew because he doesn't have this outgoing personality. He plays for the second team in LA. Like, he's just kind of there, and it feels like he's kind of wasting away. Now, the difference is Scotty's going out and winning majors. Like, Mike Trout hasn't won anything big time aside from MVP awards. But, like, for Scotty, like, that's what he's kind of been, is, like, he's this mellow dude, and he's getting momentum at the right time for him as well. Because it's leading into the Masters, and it feels like the putter. Now, the putter did fail him a couple times during the course. Like, he was 20 under. Probably could have been 22, 23 under if his putter was really locked in. But it's good enough right now.
That's right.
Where it's not a weakness, per se, in comparison to other people's puttings across the tour. And I just look at him, and you and I were both very high on Victor Hovland to go out and win the Masters this year. I don't see how you can pick anybody besides Scotty Scheffler right now.
No, I mean, especially when you consider, you know, the week Victor had, tied for 62nd, taking home $55,000. Heck, that's not even enough for his jet fuel to get there. I mean, he would have been better off not playing. But to your point again, you know, Scotty just goes about his business. You know, he embodies that approach. Today I'm better than I was yesterday, but not as good as I'm going to be tomorrow. And, you know, he, in 113 starts, he got to $50 million. He's the fastest to get there. Now, obviously, these enhanced purses certainly help. But just as a given comparison, it took Tiger 177 starts to get to $50 million. Rory, it took 169, and Rahm 141. So
he said, how many for Scotty?
Scotty, 113.
113, wow.
How about those apples? He is at $53.5 million in career earnings, and we're just getting started.
It's amazing. He really is. Like, everyone's afraid to say Tiger, but, like, if he could putt, yes, he kind of would tread in that territory. He really would.
And, you know, here's the scary part. He has won at Augusta.
Yeah.
So it's not as if, oh, well, he can't putt those greens. Well, if he gets his putter going and he knows that golf course, he knows I can win here because I've done it before. And guess what? I'll do it again.
Yeah. Real quick, I want to squeeze in Tom. He's in Naperville. What's up, Tom?
Hey, Tom.
Hey, good morning. First of all, I want to say thanks for taking my call. And I also wanted to say thanks for the listener appreciation event last year. It was a fantastic event with a lot of swag, and everybody got prizes. It was really great. I hope you do it again.
Oh, yeah. No, we're looking forward to that in late July.
Wait. Yep.
Yeah, great. And then the other thing is I'm a senior golfer. I also run a golf league. I'm a couple years shy of 70, but there's a couple questions. The league wants to move up to the white tees. We play the blues currently. And the second question has to do with a golf ball. Everybody loves the Pro V1, but at some point your swing speed slows down. Maybe move to the AVX instead of the Pro V1 or something else.
No, that's a good idea. I mean, not everybody should be playing the Pro V or the Pro V1X because a lot of that, and the Titleist ball fitters will tell you that right away, that just because, you know, the Pro V1 gets all the accolades and all the attention, mm-hmm. there's a strong chance that ball is not going to perform the best for you, your swing speed, in terms of how it actually performs. And to Tom's point, the AVX is a solid golf ball for any golfer, for that matter, but especially for golfers that swing speed has come down and, you know, you're getting up there in age, but that golf ball will perform for you because it will get compressed and it will, you know, spin and do the things you need it to do.
Great. Awesome. What about the tee box?
Okay,
Is it too early to go to the whites?
No. In fact, if you're going from the very, if your blues are the back tee and you're just moving up, I commend you for being able to last this long and doing so. I thought you were going to say, we want to go up to the greens, but the committee's saying we want to go to the reds. So, no, I definitely think you should go up there. And really, it's the USGA, what they have come up with is to select your tees, is they base it on how far you hit your 7-iron.
Right.
So if you match up your 7-iron with their chart, that will tell you the tees that you should be playing or that they would recommend so that you can have the most enjoyable experience on a golf course that you can have. I mean, it's really no fun to get beat up on a golf course. I mean, yeah, go to the tips. Yeah, it's an ego thing. But at the end of the day, I mean, if you're going to take 4 or 5 hours out of your day, let's go have some fun. Let's go make some birdies.
Right.
Beautiful. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for taking my call. I appreciate the response.
Thanks,
appreciate
Tom.
Appreciate it, Tom. Hope to see you out at the listener outing as well.
Okay, awesome. Thanks.
Tom in Naperville, 312-332-3776, if you want to join us as well. Yeah, I think you're right. Like, when you're talking about tee boxes, too, the second you drop the ego out of it and just kind of play, it's not like play, it's always play from, like, the tee boxes where you think you can hit from. It's play from the tee boxes where you think you're going to have the best time.
Exactly.
And you don't always have to play from the tips.
Mm-mm.
And even if you want to mix it around, like, oh, this week I'm going to play from the whites, next week I'm going to play from the blues, switch it up to your liking, too. And I, one of the things I always make sure is first couple rounds of the year, a lot of April rounds, you're never playing from the tips.
No.
Just
don't do
get your game in form and feel good about your game before you really start to stretch things out. And then when you get to May, June, July, go ahead. Play from wherever you want.
Amen, brother. Because if you don't, in the spring, the ground is generally soft. You're mm-hmm. not going to get the roll. The air temperature is a little bit colder. True. The ball's not flying mm-hmm. quite as far.
So your clubs have been racked up in your garage for the whole year.
And so
in the winter.
Yeah, it's like turning the water on a cabin up in Wisconsin. You got to get that brown water out before things flow clearly again.
That's a perfect example.
Yeah, so don't penalize yourself. Structure yourself for success and for some joy in this game because it's a very penal game. So mm-hmm. let's structure ourselves to go out and have a good time. And I have yet to have anybody ever tell me that they shot a great score and said, yeah, but the golf course was so easy. You still have to get the ball in the hole for
right.
crying out loud. So I absolutely concur with everything you just said about picking the appropriate tee box because, let's face it, let's fuel the fire for the enjoyment of the game. Let's not beat ourselves up.
Yep. The game's already frustrating enough.
It is.
So, all right, when we come back, we will give away a little taste of the Masters pack. We'll inform you what that is next, but we do need you to line up for a little bit of Masters trivia to get in on the action. So line them up right now, 312-332-3776. We'll go first come, first serve. If you can nail down the Masters trivia question that is coming your way, all that coming up next. This segment brought to you by Fox Bend Golf Course. 312-332-3776. Line them up right now. Masters trivia coming up next.
This is the CDGA Golf Show, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club, ESPN 1000, 100.3 HD2, and the ESPN Chicago app.
All right, we've got a full stable of callers if you want to try to get in, too, for a little trivia. We also have a third Masters journal to give away as well. So
that's
once
awesome.
Once the first question is hit, you'll win the Taste of the Masters hosting kits. But then we'll have a second question for you for the last Masters journal here. All right, getting into this, and this was a huge hit in our office last year. We loved when this Taste of the Masters thing came in. By the way, this segment brought to you by Tito's Handmade Vodka. Tito's Handmade Vodka may make a nice addition to some of these as well. But okay, here's what is in this Taste of the Masters
kit.
This is
so cool.
The large hosting kit serves 12 to 14 people, and you get all of the classics from Augusta. Now, remember, the thing about Augusta National is that the concession prices are the most affordable.
Fan-friendly or patron-friendly.
Patron-friendly that you will find not just in sports, probably in the entire country.
Including most state fairs.
And the grocery store even, too. But yeah, so in this large hosting kit, and I believe they started doing this during COVID. This is a COVID product.
Yep.
Because no one was going to Augusta for the tournament that year. So they were sending the food out to you. But you get 24 ounces of egg salad. You get 24 ounces of pimento cheese, which is amazing. 24 ounces of the barbecue pork. 6 bags of plain potato chips. 6 bags of barbecue potato chips. 6 cookies. 6 packs of Georgia pecan caramel corn. You get 25 Masters branded souvenir cups. I still have a few of those in my apartment. Masters branded wax paper, 12 sheets of that. A pack of 12 Masters coasters. I have one of those on my desk still.
As do I.
And other hosting kit materials. Now, no bread or buns are included in this, so you'll have to BYOB, bring your own bread. But it is a great thing for the office, for a little Masters party, what have you. It is fantastic. Huge hit in our office last year. I'm sure it was a huge hit at the CDGA Golf House as well. We gave a few away last year as well. So we're going to give them away as long as they're available the next couple of weeks here. So,
and it's amazing what they do down at Augusta. And like you said, this was a COVID byproduct, and it caught on like wildfire.
Yeah.
Last year, they were like delivering in just a date range.
Right.
So now I think we're able to kind of pick a day now. They got this thing down to a science. So just, again, proving the point. Anything that Augusta National and the Masters touches turns into gold.
Yes.
I mean, they do not put anything out unless they know it's quality and it will work. So.
1,000%. I think I remember last year, Charlie Bevins, it was a late-night Sox game the night before, and he slept at the station to produce our show the next morning. And he had himself a little barbecue pork for breakfast the next day because it was in the fridge still upstairs. So it's good the next day as well. You don't have to scarf it all down in one day. You can if you want to. All right, so we have Masters trivia. We've got some people lined up. And if you want to try to get in line too, 312-332-3776. We're also going to give away another Masters journal as well. But let's start with the trivia question here for the large hosting kit Taste of the Masters. What is our trivia question, Mike?
Okay. Can you name the player who finished runner-up at the Masters to both Jack Nicklaus and Tiger Woods?
It's a good one.
Who finished second to both those gentlemen? They span quite a generation there.
Mm-hmm.
But it's interesting. He lost by 12 shots. But he still finished second.
To Tiger.
To Tiger.
Yeah. That was a big hint.
We're going down the line here. We'll start with Bill. Bill, do you have an answer? Bill, you got us.
Yeah, no idea.
Do you have an answer?
Idea.
No idea? All right.
How about Sebi Ballesteros?
Ooh,
no. Not the correct answer. Sorry, Bill. Let's move along. UPS Woody. What's up, Woody?
Can you repeat that question, sir?
Who is the one player in Masters history that has finished second to both Jack Nicklaus and Tiger Woods at the Masters?
Tom Wyckoff?
Nope.
Nope.
But close.
You were close there, yep. Thanks for playing, Woody. John, do you have the answer, John?
I sure do, and I got an Illini victory today, too. It's Tom Kite, my friend.
There you go. Congratulations,
go. Wow.
Tom.
I know my Masters.
There you certainly do.
John, we will get you on hold, and we will get you your Taste of the Masters hosting kit. Congratulations. It is going to be a great
Nicely
time for you.
Nicely done.
Well done. And he's also predicting an Illini victory today as well.
Ah, so. Yes. Against those Duquesne Dukes, yes. Which is where my parents
I was
are.
Just
alma,
say,
alma mater.
If you had any Dukes in your family
I
there.
I do. And unfortunately, I have to apologize both to my parents for not picking them. Everybody in the family pool picked Duquesne except me. But, yeah. But anyway, they're both Duquesne Duke graduates, proud for their team, and I'll be rooting for them. And you know when I knew that game was over? When it was 5-0 and the guy BYU got hit in the face?
Yeah.
It was literally like that symbolic punch him in the mouth and then just roll over him. And I knew that was done, so I moved on at that point. So, anyway.
All right. We've got one more Masters Journal to give away as well. So let's keep going down the line here with trivia.
Okay.
What is our next question?
So there have been 27 aces that have been made in Masters history that span the four par threes. And the last one was made by our current leader at the Valspar, Stuart Cink, when he aced this hole in 2022. Which hole has the most aces with 18 of them?
All right, let's go down the line here, starting with Kevin. Got an answer, Kevin?
Which hole has the most
aces? Most aces,
yep. Mm-hmm.
At the Augusta National, one of the par threes. Which one is it?
12.
Unfortunately, no. But a good guess.
Oh. All good, Kevin. Appreciate you playing here. I actually don't know this one, so let's keep on going. Tom, what do you have an answer for us?
16.
That is exactly the answer.
There you go.
Number 16, which has been interesting because of late, out of the last 14 hole-in-ones, 12 have been at 16. But there were no hole-in-ones at number 16 in the 50s or the 70s.
Interesting.
But now there's been a rash of them going on, so it just goes to show you just how much better these guys are getting. But congratulations.
Awesome.
You got it.
Tom, we will get you on hold. We'll get you your Masters Journal there, and we will give away another Taste of the Masters as long as it's available.
Yep.
Next week here on the show with a little Masters trivia.
And some more journals.
And we've got some more journals for you as well. So we'll do all that next week. Looking forward to that. As we're now under 3 weeks until the greatest 4 days in golf. All right, when we come back, we will go around the CDGA, the segment brought to you by Tito's Handmade Vodka.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app.
Turn it up. Thank you to Justin Pottinger for producing today's show. We will be back with you next week a little bit earlier, 8:30 a.m., as White Sox baseball will be back
on
the air. Opening day Thursday.
You know, that's another sign when you're being sort of, you know, shifted around because of baseball.
Yeah, golf is the gateway, or baseball is the gateway to golf.
It really is.
In more ways than one, too. Like, all these baseball players turn into golfers after their careers are done. I do want to do a quick shout out, too, to our presenting sponsor, Glenview Park Golf Club. They have officially announced that they will be opening for business on Monday, March 25th. So this Monday, Glenview Park will be open to the masses. Cannot wait to get out to my first Glenview Park round of the year.
And I also can't wait to have my first meal in Corse Italia.
Oh, yes.
Their restaurant there is to die for.
One of the best things, when I grew up, I lived right off of that golf course, and when they opened Course Italian, they did a soft opening for the neighborhood that we lived in. So we got to go to Course Italian, try it out with the sort of a soft opening of their menu. Amazing.
Yeah, even if you're not a golfer, go there for lunch. It's among the best up in the North Shore.
Take out for dinner, too. It's fantastic.
Yeah, Chef Franco, they got it going up there.
No doubt about it. All right, what do we have going on around the CDGA?
All right, Tyler. Well, first, let's congratulate the following CDGA members for their podium finishes in the CDGA Fantasy Golf presented by Tour Edge at the Players Championship. Brian Rona takes the prize, the head spot, with a minus 143. He almost picked a perfect sheet.
Did he really? Wow.
Oh, yeah. And then Chan Ponticus tied for second with Owen Griffin, but in a playoff, Owen Griffin takes the third spot at minus 138. So Brian won by five. And again, thank you to almost the 3,000 CDGA members who played fantasy golf. And if you missed this particular event, we'll have six more. We've added actually two women's events,
awesome.
Two LPGA events, in addition to the four majors and the Players' Championship. So we have what we call the Sweet Seven this year. And so don't miss out on the first major of the season when we take it to Augusta National, or as they say in Augusta, the National. The CDGA Masters Fantasy event will open on Monday, April 8th, which, as you just mentioned, is just in a couple of weeks. So we're excited about that. And then we also, because of the weather being what it is, we have opened up registration for the CDGA Indoor Net Better Ball Series that we're producing in conjunction with our friends at X Golf at various locations within Chicago. There's a handful of qualifiers that are going to be in that first week of April before Augusta, which is April 3rd at Glenview, and at the 4th will be in Downers Grove, and on the 6th at Libertyville, we'll be down in Wrigleyville on the 10th. Kildare, April 11th, Orland Park on the 13th, Geneva on the 17th, and Schaumburg on the 18th. All of these qualifiers, CDGA members, you can get into as many as you wish. It's the two-man net better ball series. The finals will be at May 11th, a Saturday, at Schaumburg. So if you want a little bit of sure golf this year, indoors, good temperature, it will not rain, and you've also got TVs and some great hospitality. Come on up, sign up. It's inexpensive, and just go to cdga.org and click on social competitions to sign up. And that, my friend, is what's going on in CDGA.
Lovely. Can't wait for all of those events. And once the calendar starts to ramp up as well, we'll have a few more on the calendar as well.
Oh, God, then the outdoor season, and then we really go.
Yep, cannot wait. All right, that's going to do it for us here on the CDGA Golf Show. Remember, we'll be back with you at 8:30 a.m. next week, a half hour earlier than usual here on the CDGA Golf Show. And Peggy and Dion are coming up next.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app.